Adam Gilmour is the Chief Executive Officer and Founder of Gilmour Space. They hang out in Queensland, and they have a number of projects underway, including plans to launch satellites. Recently, Adam spoke about the company and its plans, and boy, they've got some big plans for next year. Here we go with Adam Gilmour.
We've had a pretty exciting start to the year. Team's up to 50 staff now, and we've managed to get a lot of senior rocket engineers from all around the world into the company, which we really needed. And we've locked in the design of the vehicle, and we've got a preliminary design, and we've started testing components of the vehicle, everything from rocket engines to composite tanks to thrust vector control systems, avionics and software. So all parts of the rocket we are actually started testing already, and this is going to be a year of testing for us. So we've got a lot of engine tests ahead of us, and a lot of other tests on the structure of the rocket as well. And it's been really good. I mean, we're venture backed, so we have venture capital backing, and they've been putting a lot of pressure on us to show results. So we've got a timetable of milestones for the year. And in the first quarter, we hit about 10 milestones for the first quarter, and we hit 9 out of the 10, and we're completing the 10th one tomorrow. So our investors are starting to see some traction in the company, which is good. And I think it's going to be a very good year for us. We've locked down the fuel we're going to use. We've gotten a lot of customer interest. It's been pretty good. I think, you hear stories about a lot of rocket companies starting in the world, and, you know, they're really, really overblown. There's not a lot of companies that are what I'd call 2 or 3 years away from launch, and there's been a few that have kind of failed in the last 12 to 18 months, and we're not really seeing a lot of competition around at the moment. So there's a certain payload class that we're looking at that some of our competitors can't do. So we're looking pretty good. I think our biggest challenge is getting the technology done. Now, I started the company 7 years ago. We started building rockets about 5 years ago, and you know, every year that I keep getting more and more into the business, I realize how much harder and harder it is to build a rocket. And, you know, that hardness has really hit home in the last 3 months as we've gone through the preliminary design. And, you know, there's Excel spreadsheets that are miles long, full of components and configuration management and everything you can think of. So it is a very complicated beast to design, but we're giving it a good shot, and I'm pretty confident we're going to get there. So, you know, I hope we launch in 2022. We're trying to launch in the early stage of 2022. COVID's slowed us down a little bit. The investors are saying that the pool of money to invest in space is not dying but slowing down a bit, and they've told us to kind of relax a bit on heavily growing. So we're going to have to be very careful on how much money we spend for, say, the next 12 months, which is frustrating because we're at a point where, you know, we're proving technology, it's working. I've never had so many things work in the business. You know, like normally you have something work and then something fails, but we've had like success after success after success, which has been fantastic. So, you know, COVID has been very painful for us. But, you know, we've got enough money to survive for quite a while, and we're being very careful with it. And I think I'm not super worried about the long run. It's just more the short run. So, you know, I certainly hope that we can get some of that Artemis Moon Mars money. That will really help. And, you know, anything we can get is good. And, you know, the Queensland government released a space policy a couple of months ago, right before COVID struck. So they've kind of been very engaged in COVID. But I think, you know, as we recover in the months ahead, they're going to come back out and start to invest money in the industry, which is really good. So generally, I'm very positive. You know, as hard as it becomes to build a rocket, I'm still adamant that we can build one. And we've got a really good team of people that have done it before. And it's amazing when you hire rocket engineers that have already built a rocket, their attitude is quite amazing, because, you know, you look at it and you think, you know, that's impossible. And they go, no, we've done it. We can do it. That's not a big deal. We'll just do that or change it around. And it's a very refreshing attitude to have. So it's good. That's about it for my update.
From Adam Gilmore, Chief Executive Officer of Gilmore Space. An update on the company progress. He had some additional comments to make as well in response to questions.
So Adam Gilmore, you're looking at a launch in 2022, I believe you said. So is this a new rocket? Because I visited you about a year ago, I think, and I saw a rocket you had there in the facility you've got there. Is that a derivation of that? Is it the same rocket? Is that something else, or what are we looking at?
Yeah, Peter, that was a test rocket. We actually tried to launch that last year and we failed right at the last minute, but it was really just a technology test bed for us. So it was a stepping stone. And, you know, the vehicle that we're doing next, the thrust of the engine's about double the thrust of that rocket. And there's four motors on the first stage instead of one. It's a three-stage vehicle. That was a one-stage vehicle. And it's about 20 times heavier and four times taller. So significantly bigger. That was just a baby test one.
So is the launch in 2022 going to be an all-up of that full configuration, or are you going to have an incremental test program?
No, I guess one of the things that we learned kind of the hard way is you think that a baby step doesn't take very long, but it also takes a long time. So we're not going to try any more baby steps. We're going to go straight to the final vehicle.
How simple is it for Australian launch providers to rely on overseas space situational awareness assessments for assuring safe trajectories into orbit? Would Australia benefit from establishing a sovereign space assurance capabilities for monitoring and assessing risks to Australian launched payloads? I suspect the answer would be yes. Anyone want to take a stab at that?
Yeah, I'll talk a bit. I mean, there's quite a sophisticated system already run by the Americans that the world uses, and there's been more and more countries that are contributing to that endeavour. And I think even Australia does. It's not something I'm an expert at. Adam Seedsman can probably chip in, but I think even Australia's contributing to looking at what's in the skies above Australia. And I think there's going to be a move, or already is a move, from defence into the Department of Commerce or something like that in America. I don't think it's something that any country like Australia can do by itself. We're always going to rely on other countries, especially in the Northern Hemisphere, that can look for stuff as well. But it all helps. Adam Seedsman, do you want to chip in with what Australia is doing on this?
Yeah, 100%. Adam, I'm not the expert, but I can offer some things. You're correct on the point that that the US Air Force is transitioning a large portion of that space situational awareness, or space domain awareness, as they call it now, from CSPOC, the Command Space Operations Command, to Joint Space Operations Command in the Department of Commerce, like you said. So the US recognises that the vast majority of space traffic is in fact commercial. And so how the US manages conjunction alerts and so on, it's very much a commercial focus. And so they've moved the large part of, or they're moving the large part of that operation into the commercial domain. But the US relies on sensors all around the Earth, not just on continental United States. Of course, you'd be aware of the Space Surveillance Telescope up in Western Australia. Of course, the role that the, you know, things like the ESA tracking station out in Western Australia, and there's a whole range of capabilities and a whole lot of capabilities that exist in Australia that are all part of that global network. So I forget the details of the actual question. Australia plays an important role. There's a whole lot of firms like Electro-Optic Systems, EOS, based in Canberra, other companies like Silentium Defence down in Adelaide, looking at a passive radar system for space tracking. So there's a whole range of things that really do come together to inform that network. Part of an answer, perhaps.
Sounds good.
This is for Adam Gilmore. How are you and your team planning on mitigating the risks and the verification or validation sort of that you'd be gaining from doing test launches when you're going to go for that big step of straight to the four-engine, three-stage vehicle?
Yeah, we're going to do ground tests. So we'll do tests of what the flight vehicle would be like on the ground. We're probably going to even do a vertical test, which is what most of the other rocket companies do as well. And that simulates pretty much everything right up until launch and even launch, you know, before you start accelerating. So it's the next best thing you can do before you do a launch. And in terms of other bits and pieces in the rocket, you've got shaker tables and thermal vacuum chambers and stuff like that. So we're going to cost-effectively test every single system of the rocket before we launch.
Awesome. Thank you.
My analysis of the market is, for some reason, I still can't fathom. Most of the major rocket companies in the world are building bigger and bigger rockets, and people are not building bigger and bigger satellites. So they're either going for Moon Mars missions, which, you know, there won't be that many of those rocket launches either, or they need to look at other ways to make money from these massive rockets going into space.
And we were listening there to Adam Gilmore, the Chief Executive Officer of Gilmore Space.